Turn my mic on, man. glory to God. So we're gonna continue along this line. One of the things that when the author got started in the booklet, what he said was that in order for us to understand the culture of honor, one of the things we have to understand is the fivefold ministry gifts. So we've been covering these gifts so you can get a better understanding about this honor, this culture of honor, this supernatural government God has set up in the earth realm through the apostles, through the prophets, through the pastors, through the teachers, and the evangelists. Those are graces that God, that Jesus gave to the church so that they can perfect the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. And like I said, when it got down to the end of it, it said, until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, until we come into a perfect man, until we come into the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus. So that's where we are headed. That's our ultimate destiny while we're here on earth, walking as men like Jesus did when he was here on earth. And so, again, we covered the first four. We covered the apostles. We covered the teacher. We covered the pastor and the prophets. So now what we're going to do, we're going to look a little bit at the evangelists and see what the purpose of the evangelists in these fivefold ministry gifts. The evangelist ensures that heaven's flow from the apostles through the prophets, teachers, and pastors, making it an intended target for those who are held in darkness. The Apostle Paul was the first one who was given the ministry to minister to those. Turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 26, and we'll see how what it looks like. In Acts chapter 26, this is Apostle Paul, and he's testifying of what happened to him when he went after he was knocked off of his donkey, and Jesus came to him, and he asked Jesus asked him, "Why, Saul, why is that thou persecuted me?" And then he told him that he was going to do some mighty works. That's in Acts chapter 9. But here in Acts chapter 26, beginning at verse 15, he said, I said, this is Paul speaking, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted." He said, "But rise and stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things." Acts 26 and 16. He said, "And of these things which I have seen, and of those things in thee which I will appear unto thee." He said, "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from Satan and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." That's Christ Jesus. That is in Christ Jesus. That's the purpose of an evangelist. And so they're to turn the people from darkness to light, and that they might receive forgiveness of their sins, and let them know that there is an inheritance they receive in the kingdom. And so once they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, these are the things that come to them. His anointing causes him or her to focus on the souls who do not yet know Jesus as the primary concern and motivation for ministry. The anointing causes him or her to focus on the souls who do not yet know Jesus as a primary concern and motivation for ministry. So when they look at, they're basically looking at people who have not been saved. They call them saved or salvation. And so their focus, main focus, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's the thing that they are really looking at. And realistically, unless the ministry of the church is reaching those who don't yet know the Lord, the function of the other anointings is fairly pointless. So they have to bring them into the kingdom. They have to let them know what they receive in the kingdom. Then once they come in, then the other fivefold ministry gifts imparts to them the graces that God put into them, like the apostles and the prophets. We know what they do. They are seeking heaven. They're finding out what heaven wants here on the earth, and they're bringing that to heaven. The teachers are giving teaching in understanding, and also the pastor is called by God to teach with knowledge and understanding. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Just show you, give you some basic scriptures here. And let you see what Jesus thought about it. Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, looking at verse 11, besides him coming to destroy the works of the devil, none of one of his duties was, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. So if we separated from God, then that means we are lost. So we need to be saved. An evangelist, that's part of his purpose, is to bring people back into the kingdom. They have a ministry of reconciliation. So what we're doing as evangelists is reconciling men back to God as they were when they were in the Garden of Eden. That's the whole purpose. Jesus came so that could happen. So he came to seek and save that which was lost. Turn to 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 2. And part of we who are in the kingdom, this is part of what we are supposed to be doing also. And one of our prayer that we are praying with the apostle now is this particular prayer in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And so I want to go to chapter verse 4, but I read the first four verses of 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men. That's whether they are saved or not, for all men. It says for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. So we are, as the body of Christ, we are to be praying for all men, whether they, all those who are in authority. We're to pray for our leaders. We're to pray for our presidents, for all our sheriffs, our judges, and the word of God said we pray for them that we may lead a quiet and life. It ain't about them so much as it's about us who are in the kingdom, that we may live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness. It says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. So when we do this, when we pray for people to come into the kingdom, when we pray for people to be saved, it's a good thing in the sight of God. We can, you say, well, I don't know about evangelism, but if you pray for men and pray for all those in authority, then we are praying that they come into the kingdom. And verse 4 says, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of truth. So God's purpose, whole purpose, is for all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Not that necessarily that all of them is going to be saved, but God's purpose is for all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. So the evangelist is he's on point when he goes out and tell people about Jesus to bring him into the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven invading the earth is the main goal. We're bringing people into the kingdom, and it's not so much to bring the saved into the church, but it's to bring the kingdom of heaven invaded in earth. So more people that are in the kingdom, the more people see what the kingdom is like, because more people are doing like Jesus did when he was on the earth, and we become witnesses to what Jesus did while he was here on the earth. So then they can say, well, I want to be part of this kingdom, where everything is in its place, where my body can be healed, where I can be delivered from lack and poverty, where I don't have to go to hell and spend eternity with Satan. I can come and join the kingdom and go on and live eternally with the Father. It says the kingdom of heaven invading the earth is the goal, not so much unsaved invading the church. And so we have to focus on that part. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Just show you some, point out some scriptures, scripture references. Looking at verse 16, remember when we started, we showed that scripture that the Apostle Paul was ministering to the people to bring them out of darkness into light. Turn to Matthew chapter 4, looking at verse 16. It says, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So while he was here, that's what he was preaching, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he wanted people to repent. And when they repent, they come into the kingdom and receive the benefits of the kingdom. In verse 18, it says, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren. Here he doing his evangelism right here. He saw two brethren, and he called two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they was fishers. And he said unto them, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers all men. So what he was saying is, if you come into the kingdom, he said he was responsible for making them fishers of men, bringing them into the kingdom and receiving the benefits of the kingdom. That's what we call evangelism. And they straightway, as soon as he called them and he invited them, he said, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and mother and their father and followed him. And so it's, if we tell Jesus, tell people about Jesus, it's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit to change their heart so they can receive him and come into the kingdom. Sometimes we are just watering. You say some, the word of God say one water, say Apollos watered, and Paul, one sow, one water. But it's always God that gives the increase. So when we plant the seed in their hearts, we tell them about Jesus, it's up to the Holy Spirit to draw them into the kingdom. We can't get them, we can't save them, but we can tell them about the kingdom. And when we tell them about the kingdom, I'll show them the kingdom like Jesus did. Jesus always showed them what the kingdom was about. Let's see what happened here. He said, and they immediately left the ship, verse 22, and they immediately left the ship and followed their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing. There healing is again, supernaturally healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that was taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatics, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitude of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. So it looks like when we show people the kingdom, they're going to want to come and find out what's happening here. If the world see the body of Christ, see the church doing these supernatural signs, these supernatural wonders like Jesus was done, great multitudes will come and find out, because there's many people that are sick in the world system. It wasn't because they were saved that he was saving them, healing them. He saved all. They had not even come into the kingdom. He had compassion on all that came to him for sickness. If they were sick, his whole purpose was to destroy. You see, he was manifested in the earth realm that he might destroy the works of the devil. And again, we know that sickness and disease is from the kingdom of darkness or from the devil. And so Jesus said, whatever I do, I come to destroy his works. We are supposed to be doing the exact same thing. We are supposed to be who are in the kingdom, destroying the works of the devil. We must cooperate with the Holy Spirit in carefully and intentionally assembling the pipes that funnels heaven and all its power and freedom to the earth. And so we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We all should have did like the disciples and apostles did. We tarry until we receive the promise of the Father from on high, which Jesus spoke about. And that was being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And that's why he told him, he said, you're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost, Acts 1:8, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you're going to be witnesses unto me, both in Judea, Jerusalem, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That witness is that the same things that Jesus did while he was here on the earth, you're going to be doing those exact same things. And you're not going to be doing it by yourself. It's with the help of the Holy Spirit working through you, doing the works. Like Jesus said, he said, it's not me that does the work. It's the Father in me that doeth the work. And so once we got saved, Jesus and the kingdom came on the inside of us, and then we should be operating the exact same way that Jesus operated while he was on the earth. That's bringing that power. See, through the apostles, that power flows. It's like a funnel. It flows down through the apostles, through the prophets, through the teachers, through the pastors and the evangelists, and flows into the earth realm. And so we have to get the power in the earth through individuals who've accepted. But as we look around and observe the body of Christ as a whole, we're not operating in the kingdom the way God wanted us to operate. We come to church, we say we love God, we do. But God said those things that we are supposed to be doing, they are not manifesting in our lives. Even our personal lives, they are not operating, because we are not operating in the kingdom the way God set it up from the beginning. We should be operating in power, in authority, in dominion, in every area of our lives. And when the enemy comes up, we should know exactly what to do when he comes up. And so we should be able to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. And so that's, I wanted to just show you that as evangelists and what evangelists do. That's the full, it's not everything that evangelists, but I've given you scripture references on the evangelists and what they do. And so you can go back again and look at those scriptures and see how an evangelist works. We are part of that evangelistic course. In fact, Jesus have called all of us, everybody who's in the kingdom, to be an evangelist. That's not the fivefold ministry gifts of an evangelist, but that is an evangelist brings people into the kingdom. Turn to Matthew chapter 28, and we'll see. He commissioned us that we go, and in fact, we call it the Great Commission. But unless we under the government, under God's apostolic government, then we are basically going through the motions of these things and not actually receiving the benefits of the kingdom. Over here in Matthew chapter, I'm gonna show it to you twice. In Matthew chapter 28, and we was commissioned in Matthew 28 and 18, and Jesus came, 28:18, they say, and Jesus came and spake to them, saying, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So Jesus got the power. He went back. He took the keys from Satan. He went to hell. He went down. He took the keys from Satan. So now the power has been given back to him. And he said, in heaven and in earth. See, when Adam sinned, he gave up the authority. He gave up the power in the earth, in the realm of the earth. So therefore, he could dominate in the earth realm. But once Jesus came, he died on the cross, he resurrected. And once he resurrected, that resurrection power, the dunamis power that our apostle been ministering on, came back to him. And so he gave us that same power that he had. And so here he says, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the earth. That's awesome, man. When you think about it, he said, you know, wherever you go, if you minister to people and you tell them about the kingdom, he said, it's not you that's ministering to them. It's me that's in you. I just want to use you as an instrument, as a vessel. I want to use your vocal cords to bring people into the kingdom. At least tell them about the kingdom and the benefits of being in the kingdom. And then I will draw them into the kingdom. And so we say, well, I'm not a good speaker. It ain't on us. If you listen to the Spirit of God, if you listen to the Holy Spirit, then he's going to tell you, he's going to put you in position that you can always tell somebody about Jesus. And that's what it's about. You tell them about Jesus so they can come in the kingdom and reap the benefits of the kingdom. Turn to Mark chapter 16. And he says it again. This is a second witness. Mark chapter 16, looking at verse 15. He said, and he said unto them. And that's, like I said, that's what we, the body of Christ called the Great Commission. And that's what we all are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be doing the Great Commission, bringing people into the kingdom. It says here in 15, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. All the good news. He didn't say preach about hell and damnation. He said preach the gospel. Gospel is good news. Gospel is about telling people about Jesus, what Jesus have already taken care of. Everything that you need in this realm, in this earth, everything that you need. He died on the cross to take care of it. He died on the cross to take away every sin that I committed. He died on the cross to take away every sickness and disease that man can be put up on you. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. He said, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That means they come into the kingdom. He that believeth that Jesus Christ is Lord, believe that God raised him from the dead. And once that happens, if he believed that, then a supernatural function takes place in his life, in his spirit, man. He becomes a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 say that if you be Christ, then are you a new creature. It says old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So now we have a new nature on the inside of us. We no longer have the nature of Satan on the inside of us. We now have the nature of God on the inside of us, just because we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that believe that God raised him from the dead. Once that happened, supernatural. We came into the kingdom as supernatural beings, and so we should operate in the supernatural, because God himself is a supernatural God. That's happened on the inside of you. I know when we got saved, we say, well, you say I'm a new creature, but you know, you look at yourself from the outside, it's not new, but what didn't happen on the outside, it happened on the inside, in your inner man is where that new creation took place. And when that took place, and then we took on the nature of God. And so when we took on the nature of God, we can do like Jesus did. The same works that he did, we can do also. He said, verse 16, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That goes back to when Jesus received his ministry in Acts, in Luke 4 and 18. When he took on his ministry, it said these are the things that he was anointed by God to take care of these situations, take care of the oppressed, heal the sick, deliverance. And he said that's why he came. That was another reason he came. And so, again, he appointed us. He was assigned us to do the same thing, just to tell them about the good news and then allow them to believe the good news and come into the kingdom. He said they, the ones who believe this, that mean that they've come into the kingdom. They are believers. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, now I'm going to read right on through it. He says, so then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. That's what he's doing. That's where he's sitting right now. That means that if he's sitting down, and my apostle always say, if he's sitting, that means the work is finished. You don't sit down until the work is finished. And so that means he said, you know, Father, I finished the work that you sent me to the earth to do. Everything that you sent me to do, I've taken care of it. And so now he went up there and he sat down, and he has a ministry right now. And he's sitting on the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf. That's part of his ministry, is intercession for the saints. And so we can go. That's why he said, if you can ask anything in my name, he said, I will do it. Because if you ask the Father anything in my name, he said he will do it. Why? Because when we go to him in the name of Jesus, he can we go to and Jesus will go to the Father and say he's in the kingdom. Grant that to them. And so that's look what he said. He said, those that believe, and they went forth. Verse 20, he said, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. And so that's the kingdom. That's evangelism. That's bringing people into the kingdom. Again, he said, we do not have to do these things. Only thing that we have to do is to tell people about it. And then God said, I'm going to do the work. When we got started talking about the culture of honor, and the prophet Isaiah prophesied about the government being up on his shoulder, up on his son's shoulder, up on the shoulder of Jesus. And they say, of his peace there shall be no end. And then he got sent, get down to the end of it. He said, and the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. So God said, I'm going to do this. We have to get to a point that we get ourselves out of the way and allow God to do what he wants to do. All we have to do is humble ourselves. And once we humble ourselves, then God said, they're not trying to do it on their own. They're not trying to take the glory from me. They're just doing what I told them to do by preaching the gospel, telling them about the kingdom, and allowing people to receive for themselves what the kingdom has to offer. Amen. Let's go a little bit further. We're going to start on this honor. Honor is a hardware that bolts all these gifts together. If each one of these gifts, these fivefold ministry gifts, honor each other as such. Other gifts refer to the apostle as an apostle. And remember that principle that God set up in Matthew 10:41. And that is a principle. He put the prophet in there. He said the words he said. He said, he that receive a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. But then he goes on from the prophet and he gets right on back to us. He said, he that receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. You say, but how do I know I'm righteous? Well, the word of God tells me I'm righteous. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he said, for he who knew no sin God made him to be sin for me, that I may be made, I'm made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not my righteousness, it's his righteousness. He took on every sin that I had committed. He took on every sickness that I had. And because he did that, then he gave me his righteousness. So now when I walk around, so I am a righteous man. And a person who see me, receive me as a righteous man, receive that reward that's on my life. And that's the same life that Jesus walked around while he was on earth. This funnel is actually a network of relationships. Relationships in which the flow continues as we learn to recognize those God-given roles and anointing. Those God-given roles and anointing. Remember when we started this course, and one of the things that we started off with the principle of honor, and we made a statement. We say the principle of honor states that accurately acknowledging who people are will position us, or the church, to give them what they deserve and receive the gift of who they are in our lives. So we receive apostle as an apostle. We receive that apostle's reward, and we walk around with, if he've imparted those graces that's in him, then the same graces that is in him should be in us as the body of Christ. Because why? He've imparted that to the body of Christ. Same thing with a teacher. Not that we're an apostle, but we have those graces in us. So like he operated, if we're under an apostle, then we act like he does. If we're under a prophet, then we act like a prophet. If we're under an excellent pastor who's teaching with knowledge and understanding, then when we go out and minister, we should minister with knowledge and understanding. And the same thing with a evangelist, and the same thing with a teacher. What happens is it says, and then releases people to operate in them and receive what they have to give. And so an apostle, as he made a statement in the last couple of sessions, and he saw it, he says that in every situation, when someone go out to minister, they should go out. They shouldn't go out unless they have a witness from someone else, like Jesus, even Jesus himself. He had to have a witness when he went out to begin to minister. John the Baptist was his witness. And when he saw him coming, he said, look, he said, the Lamb of God who take away the sins of the world. And so that was his witness. So anybody who goes out and begin to begin a ministry, that should always have a witness from someone should say he's ready for ministry. He can go out and minister now. And so the part of the apostle or the pastor looks out. He looks out amongst the congregation. He sees someone. He sees the gifts in their lives, and he can point them out, and he can send them forth to do ministry. But until that time, we're still in training. Again, we can go back and look at the body of Christ. We got a perfect example. We can look at the body of Christ, and we can walk up and down streets and highways, and we can see many churches that's under the auspices of a church. But that church has been the same thing for the last 35, 40 years. And God is a God of multiplication. If multiplication or growth is not going on, then we can say that they are doing something else. They have become their own gods. And because they are own gods, then the results they are getting from their ministries are what they are creating for themselves. And so if you're not sent, then again, I always say, if you're not sent, then you went. And when you went, then the results you get are your own results. What happens is God anoints a person, and his spirit in the rest of the team creates a corporate witness that acknowledges God's anointing and receives the person in his or her role. And again, it's a supernatural function that takes place. That God said, I set the government up. I set my authority up. And this is how it operates. This is the way it works. You can, you can bring man's wisdom in it if you want it. The Apostle Paul understood that. He said, I didn't come to you with in man's wisdom, but I came to you in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And so what happens is, again, God himself anoints, take the spirit that's in that individual and he takes it and he puts it on other people. That's, again, it's a mystery, but it's up for us who are in the kingdom to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Mark 4 says, tells us that. We have to know what the mystery is. We don't know how it happens, but God said, this is the way it works. And if he said, this is the way it works, then we believe what he says. We believe what the word of God says, and then it has to operate. Turn to Numbers chapter 17. Chapter 11, let's see. I think it's in chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. And we'll begin reading at verse 16, number 16 11 and 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, he said, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people. That sounds like those table waiters, the same thing. He said, go out and appoint 7 men who's full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And so the people went out and they selected those 7 over in the book of Acts. Here again, he's saying, and whom thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers over them. He's saying, bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation that they may stand there with thee. Yeah, that was Moses, that they may stand there with him. And he said, and I will come down. God said, and I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take of the spirit which is up on thee. He said, the spirit which is up on thee. He said, and I will put it up on them. So what he's saying now, God said, this is the way it operates. This is the way the kingdom operates. I've anointed you with certain graces. I've put certain spirits on the inside of you. And so what I do as you appoint people, you're the one who call them. You're the person I put in position to send other people out to do the works of ministry. He said, and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it up on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. So, for instance, apostle, I can use this ministry, I can use our apostle as an example, and what he said, God says, the apostle cannot do all the work that needs to be done for this ministry. He cannot take care of all the people that's in this ministry. But what I would do, as you appoint individuals, he said, I will take the spirit that's up on you and I will put it on them. And the same spirit that's in you, then they can operate. They can bear the burden of the people with you. And so if you've been called to be in the helps ministry, you'll help carrying the burden of the ministry of that apostle. He've now put an apostolic anointing up on you that you can operate the same way that the apostle operate. The same gifts that's in him is also in you. You can operate the same way. We saw that with those table waiters over in Acts chapter 6. We saw it with Philip. Philip, after he got anointed by the apostles, he went around and he started doing the same thing that the apostles began to do. He began to lay hands on the sick. He began to do healings and all those things. And so, again, it's a kingdom of beliefs. It's a kingdom of having faith in everything that God tells us about his word. I made a statement in one of the classes I was ministering in that when we look in the scriptures, when we look in the word of God, we are actually looking in a mirror of who we are once we come into the kingdom. It's like if God says something in the mirror in the word of God, it's like it's reflecting back me in my natural. If I look in the mirror and I see my hair out of place, I can take my hand and I can put it in place. If I look into the word of God and if something is out of place and the word of God tells me about that particular thing, then I can take and with my focus, I can put it back in my place. I can take the scripture and say, this is what God designed for me. And since he designed it for me, I can make that right in my life. Again, I always use sickness and disease, for example, because that seems like the most prevalent thing that comes up on the body of Christ is sickness and disease. That's one of the most prevalent things. But because we was redeemed from it, then we should take the word of God, find out what it says about it, and then begin to use that to put ourselves back into a right position. Turn to Isaiah 53. It came up, so I'm going to show it to you again. Never can get enough of the word of God. So here in Isaiah chapter 53, talking about Jesus. And I just read through this a couple of verses. He says in Isaiah 53, he say, he is despised. This is the prophet Isaiah prophesying about what was going to happen to Jesus when he come and die and be die on the cross, hang there on the cross, be buried, resurrected, and ascend to the throne of God. He says in verse 3, he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteem him not. Prophesy, he said, telling this what's going to happen to Jesus when he come. The one that God says is, you know, this is the same prophet who prophesied that God was going to put his government up on his shoulder. The prophet Isaiah, he says, and surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. So if Jesus is going to carry my sorrows, and then my place is, why should I carry him if he's going to carry him for me? So what I do, I take my sorrows and I put them over on him because he's going to carry them for me. And so he goes on to say, but, you know, even though all these things was happening, he was afflicted. He said, but there was a reason for him taking our sorrows and being smitten. He said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, that's that peace again, that government up on his shoulder, was up on him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Done deal. That's what the prophets prophesied about. Jesus came. He fulfilled the prophecy. And because he fulfilled the prophecy, now what we do, we receive what Jesus did for us. And when the enemy comes, that same enemy in John 10:10, that says that Satan comes to steal, kill and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That same enemy, that same Satan, then he come and he give us, he lied to us. He gives us deception. And what we do, we go find the truth on this situation. Now what I'm doing, rather than allowing him to say, I got a situation, I can look in the mirror of the word. I can find out what the word says about that particular situation, and then I can correct it on my own. But he was wounded for my transgression. So when he tried to put sickness and disease up on me, I can look in the mirror, just like if my tie was straight and I look in the natural mirror, I could straighten it up. I could look in the mirror of the word and find out what it says about that particular situation and make it right, because the word of God. And if you read on through here, you go on to the next word and what he says here, Isaiah 55:11. And so now we got a sure word from God, Isaiah 55:11. We can look at that word. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. That's the God. God is speaking. He said, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. I see it in the mirror. And he said, now, if you see it, it becomes your word. And when it becomes your word, you can take that word and correct any situation, any life situation that comes up in your life. You can correct it with that word. And because it's, like I say, the word becomes a mirror to you that you can correct anything that's in your life. And again, and so he says again, so the word, if you turn over to Numbers 23:19, and he says it again. He said, man is not a God is not a man that he should lie, not the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he shall make it good. That's God. God said, I'm going to do this. God said, I will do this. And so then it gets down to a matter of trust, whether we trust God, whether we trust his word or not, whether we're going to make it manifest in our lives or not. And so and we have to get to that point. If we're in the body of Christ, we came into the kingdom as believers, and then we get to the point that everything that God says in his word, we have to get to a point that we believe what he said. And once we believe it, then we can receive what he said. One more scripture over here while we're here, and then I'll go on and give you some more pointers here. I got a few more pointers. Turn to Romans. And again, I said we have to believe it, and then we have to receive it. Romans chapter 5. Most of these scriptures we probably have heard or covered or been over them, but like I say, as the Spirit of God brings them up, I bring them up again, because the Word of God tells me, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So here we go again. In verse 5:17. So if we are not reigning in this life, again, that's something that we are not doing that God told us to do. As we continue to study, as we continue to go through the Word of God, he began to show us. This becomes our manual in how we operate in the kingdom. It's just like we get a vehicle. The vehicle going to tell us how that vehicle operates. So God said, look, what I'm going to do, I'm going to send you a manual. I've created you in my image, and I'm going to send you a manual on how you operate in this kingdom and how you operate like I do. But sometimes you have to go through and you have to study. My daughter got a new vehicle, and there's some things in that new vehicle, like automatic gate openers. And you have to go in and you have to dig it out. You know, you have to program them and all those things. So, you know, she's had it almost a month now, or a little bit longer, and we still haven't figured out, because we haven't went in and, you know, dug it out, how you program these automatic gate openers. It's in there. But until I learn how to do it, then I can never do it. So same thing God did. God said, I've given you my manual. You have to go in and you have to dig it out. You have to find out how to operate it. And once you find out how to operate it, can nobody ever take it from you again. Here in Isaiah, Romans chapter 5, looking at verse 17, he said, for if by one man's offense, death reigns, he's talking about Adam, Adam caused death to rain up on the whole earth and on all mankind. He said, by one man, he said, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So if we're not reigning, that means we have not went into the manual and found out how to reign in this life. He given it to us. He told us how to do it, but we have to go in and find out how to do it. What you're doing now, you're finding out how you reign in life by sitting here listening to these instructors as they teach you the Word of God. You're learning more about the things of God. In fact, the Apostle Peter say we become partakers of God's first or second Peter 2. He said we become partakers of God's divine nature by the knowledge that we have of him. So if we have, the more knowledge we have, the more of his divine nature that we can use ourselves. So as we learn more about him, we become more able to manifest the kingdom of God in the earth realm. We need a meditation scripture. I think we've done it once. We're going to do this one again. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. We'll use that again as our meditation scripture. Does it feel like the Holy Spirit say, we didn't get enough. We didn't actually get the prosperity out of the scripture that we needed to get. So we're going to use that as again, as our meditation scripture. I got some more pointers to give you on these. Honor is the hardware, but we'll get it in the next class. Father God, we thank you and we praise you and we give you glory, Father. We thank you that you open eyes that we do see, our ears that we do hear, and you're giving us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We'll no longer just become hearers of your word, but we've now become doers of what you tell us to do. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.